Once again for loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John, bringing you another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, which each weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. Full details are at offbeatoregon.com. Check it out, but first sit back and relax, and let me tell you the story of how the California Gold Rush affected Oregon. This story is an old one. It's one of the earliest ones I've written. It was first published on November 5th, 2009, under the headline, Oregon Had Inside Track on California's Gold Rush. Welcome to Oregon, population 8,779. Has a certain ring to it, doesn't it? Not even Tom McCall would have welcomed a number that low. But that was the population of the territory of Oregon, including what's now Washington State, in 1849. A year earlier, there'd been three times as many people there. But, of course, you know what happened in 1849. Gold was discovered in California, and although there was quite a bit of gold in Oregon, too, it hadn't been discovered yet. So southward flew virtually every Oregon citizen capable of putting dirt in a pan and pouring water over it. Crops rotted in the fields. For a whole lot of them, though, it was worth it. You see, Oregonians had learned of the gold discovery well before anyone back east. And that was primarily because of a sea captain who made a killing in Portland. This captain had sailed his ship, the Honolulu, into port the previous July, just a few months after gold was discovered. Portlanders thought it odd that he brought the ship in empty, with nothing to sell to them. A couple of months later, ships in ballast coming to Portland to take loads of wheat and other foodstuffs across the sea would be very common, but in mid-1848 they were not. Actually, perhaps across the sea isn't quite what gets it here. What would become very common a couple months later was ships in ballast coming in and taking giant loads of wheat and foodstuffs south to San Francisco. But of course, San Francisco had to explode for that to work. In any case, in Portland in 1848, they found it odd, and they found it odder that the captain zipped out and started snapping up every pick and shovel he could find. Of course, it wasn't a very big town, so it didn't take him too long to cover all of the available retail outlets. And then when it came time to pay for his excavation equipment, they found out what he was up to. He paid for it with gold dust, and then he told them where he'd gotten it. So, by the time the New York Herald got the word and announced for the first time on the Eastern Seaboard on August 19th, the Oregonians had already been pouring over the border to the gold fields for a solid month. By the time the first ships crammed with gold rushers got to San Francisco 8 months later, remember there was no Panama Canal yet, they had to sail around Patagonia, the Oregonians had already spent most of a very productive summer and autumn scrounging up the easy pickings and staking out their pick of available claims. When they returned to their neglected farms, these Oregonians brought back millions in gold. But they found the folks who'd stayed behind had done almost as well. You couldn't eat gold, right? Someone had to grow the food. So many of the people who usually do that were digging for gold that there wasn't much of it, so prices for food were astronomical. Ship after ship loaded with Willamette Valley food started heading down to San Francisco, bringing back even more gold. Now, before 1848, Oregon's economy, such as it was barter-based. The provisional territorial legislature even voted to make wheat legal tender at one point. And Territorial Governor George Abernethy gave out special rocks as change at his store. They were known, possibly not fondly, as Abernethy Rocks. But once all this gold started pouring in, suddenly business owners needed scales to weigh gold dust, and a group of citizens started stamping it into $5 and $10 beaver money, and business got quite a lot easier to do. And by the way, if you ever should stumble across one of these beaver money chunks of gold, with a crude little beaver embossed on it, take a good hard look, because those things are rare as chicken lips these days, and they're worth a lot of money. A lot more than the gold that they're made of. In any case, as the California gold fields filled up with Easterners and treasure seekers from around the world, many of the Oregonians came home. Some of them got skunked, but many of them returned with their pockets bulging, and all of them found that they could almost name their price for anything they could grow. Now that mining the mines was no longer particularly profitable, Oregonians were finding that they could do even better by mining the miners. One other thing happened in 1848 as well. Oregon lost its preeminence on the West Coast. In early 1848, there were only 1,000 or so non-Native Americans in California, the whole place, and many times that number in the Oregon Territory. The following year, the ratios would be reversed. Oregon would never again have a bigger population than its sunnier, southerly neighbor. That's it for today's Offbeat Oregon History Podcast episode. Sources for this episode include Dick Pentark's The Oregon Gold Rush article from Great Moments in Oregon History and William Sullivan's book Hiking Oregon History. What you've been listening to is an archive column from the newspaper service. If you'd like more, there's a couple dozen of these podcasts on iTunes. Search the iTunes store for Oregon History or offbeatoregon.com/iTunes will redirect you right to it. There are also hundreds of columns on the website going back to 2008, most of them with pictures. On the website, you can also subscribe to this podcast, which is free, of course, and it'll be delivered straight to your smartphone every day via RSS or iTunes. You'll also find links to the Offbeat Oregon Facebook page and Twitter feed so you can join the conversation and also the full citations for the sources of this story. Our theme music is a track titled Old Man's Waltz by the Atlas String Band, written by Carmen Ficarra. All these columns are covered under a Creative Commons Attribution Sharealike 3.0 license. Details are at offbeatoregon.com/cc. Are you coming to Corvallis anytime soon? Drop me a line and let's grab a cup of coffee while you're here. I love geeking out with fellow history buffs. I'm at Finn at offbeatoregon.com or if you do Twitter, at offbeatoregon. And finally, my book about the naughty bits of 1890s Portland just came out, and if you like these podcasts, chances are pretty good that you'll like it. It's titled Wicked Portland. It's from the History Press, so check it out. You can read the lost chapter, the chapter I had to cut from the book for space reasons, at wicked-portland.com/lost. You can also preview the book on Amazon. A search for Wicked Portland brings it up, and you can click the Look Inside logo. That's it for today. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.